We continue here on the Peter B. Collins Show, coast to coast, and a shout-out to our new listeners in Boston, Massachusetts, listening on AM 1510, all up and down New England. Great to have you with us. And you can call into the program toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 1-38-573-8372. We continue with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, and we are joined by Carolyn Cernich. She spells her last name C-N-R-I-C-H.
Nope.
C-R-N, sorry.
Thank you. Pretty close.
I was skipping a vowel there, and I skipped a consonant, too.
You were going to offer to buy her a vowel, weren't you?
Yeah. C-R-N-I-C-H. And I know you are in charge of voting, but your title's bigger than that, right, in Humboldt County?
My title is different than that. I'm the county clerk and recorder and registrar of voters.
There we go. I knew your purview was greater than just the election issues.
Yeah.
Now, Carolyn, we invited you on the program today because we got some very positive reports from citizen activists in Humboldt County about the Election Transparency Project that you permitted. And I first want to thank you for allowing citizens to participate in this process in the manner that you did. It essentially, correct me if I have this wrong, but it seems like a real-time audit of the work that your professionals did using the Diebold/Premier GEMS tabulators. And the result produced an interesting outcome, which is that it appears that the GEMS tabulators got the vote count wrong by somewhere around 200 votes.
Yes, that's right. And thank you for thanking me, I guess. But
well, you're welcome, yeah, but do you know how unusual this is? Do you know that you're not a defensive bureaucrat who is, you know, I mean, so many of people in your position who we've talked to are very leery of citizen participation. They're leery of having their work reviewed or audited. And some of them are downright arrogant, Carolyn. And so I just have to say that you're different, and we appreciate that.
Well, it's not that I try to be different or anything. It's just that I'm an elected official, too, and I think it's at least part of my job to listen to my constituents and to try to work with them, and here we are.
Yeah, Brad?
Actually, I'd like to add my thanks there because I know, Carolyn, that you have been for years now going back and forth with the election integrity folks out there in Humboldt, sometimes going well. Sometimes you guys have been at odds about things, but I know that the fact that you have stuck with it and this program that, if I recall, Carolyn, you were actually looking at doing this project where you make these ballots as pretty much as they're scanned available up on the web for people to actually see. You were looking at doing this back in 2006, as I recall, and at the time, or maybe it was 07, you were told that it couldn't be done because it could lead to vote buying and so forth if there were identifying marks on the ballot. I wanted to find out why you were able now to do that, unlike in previous years, and if, you know, if there was any changes made or if folks just realized, well, hell, we already do 40% of our ballots by absentee, so you can sell them that way much easier. How did that come about?
Well, I think that was part of the convincing that we did. But additionally, in 2006, when we came up with the idea, or perhaps even before that, what we envisioned, first of all, was that it be a system freestanding from any proprietary software of any kind, and that we make it available to everyone, and not just, you know, the committee or anything like that, but to every voter in Humboldt County should have the opportunity to see every ballot. If we're hand counting paper ballots, only the 8 or 10 people in the room at the time get to see those ballots. They don't see the ones that everybody else is counting. So the idea was to give everybody an opportunity to see every ballot that's counted in Humboldt County. But what's changed in the meantime is that we have acquired an off the shelf kind of high speed, high end scanner. And then also joining our committee was Mitch Trachtenberg, who is a programmer and very interested in the subject. And he did what others I know have spent their career chasing grants to do, and that was to write for us pro bono a browser in open source that would allow us to count the votes that were on the ballots.
Now, open source, isn't that some sort of a violation of election protocols in this country? Doesn't it have to be privatized and owned by a corporation?
Well, we don't consider this our primary ballot counting election program.
Understood.
This is an audit program separate and apart from that. And unlike, I think it was in Arizona that an elections official wanted to do something similar to this,
mm-hmm.
In place of the audit that's mandated by the state. That's my understanding, and I may be wrong on that. But this is something that we do in addition to all of those required audits of our official canvas mm-hmm. of an election.
We're talking with Carolyn Cernich in Humboldt County, California, here on the Peter B. Collins Show, along with Brad Friedman. And, Carolyn, I have a report here from a member of the Transparency Project, ETP, Election Transparency Project. And let me just recap this and then get your comments on it. According to this, they did this process where they scanned ballots separately from your process. And their system came up with initially 216 more ballots than the Premier GEMS system tabulated. And it goes on to say here that deck zero appeared to be the issue. And I don't want to get too far into the weeds here and lose our listeners, but perhaps you can explain what happened with deck zero that potentially produced this discrepancy.
It's apparently not only deck zero, but let me explain the process. When you begin to scan absentee ballots into the GEMS server, they're assigned a deck number by that by the server.
Mm-hmm.
The first one being numbered deck zero, the next one being numbered deck one, and so on.
All right.
So we created a deck zero, and we were unaware that in 2004, I believe October of 2004, there was I'll remind you that I became actively involved in the process of the Elections Department in about 2006, and prior to that, we had a very capable elections manager here, so it wasn't necessary that I spend so much of my time here, but on my other duties. But he has since left, and I guess just didn't pass on to me. If he told me, I didn't remember that there was an email from Diebold in 2004 that advised us to remove that deck. However, there's no prompting or anything like that on the screen itself. You had to be here to know that.
So it's a secret memo, so to speak.
It
was secret from you.
I don't think it was their intention to share it with the world, but it appears from the memo that I saw today that it was definitely intended for all of their clients, at least in California. I can't answer for others, but it's definitely something that they didn't try to conceal. It's just that it wasn't passed on to me.
Okay.
And so I didn't know I was supposed to delete deck zero. And so during the process of scanning batches of ballots, it's not uncommon for us to delete one manually, and it's a quality control thing because I have my ballots not only sorted into precincts but also batches of 50 so that I can watch the meter on the central count machine and verify that, okay, 50 have gone through, okay, 100 have gone through, 149 have gone through. Were there only 49 in that batch that I thought had 50,
mm-hmm.
or did something double feed?
Mm-hmm.
And if I find that, no, there were 150 something double fed, then I will delete that batch intentionally and start over.
Okay.
So what we didn't know also, I mean, deleting is a normal part of the job, but...
And you do understand, to the uninitiated, that sounds odd, that
you would be
tabulating, you wouldn't be deleting anything.
That's right, but that's why I went through that whole explanation.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's a quality control issue that I can delete a batch that I believe was miscounted and start over again with that batch.
I see.
And so I do that.
Okay.
The decks then, the batches at the, when I'm finished and satisfied that yes, the machine got the same number that I believe are in this batch, I send an ender card through, and that commits that batch to the memory in the GEM server.
Okay.
Okay. At any point, if I realize that, uh-oh, I missed five ballots in precinct XYZ, I can either scan them as their separate batch, or I can go back and delete that batch, add those five to it, and do it again.
I see.
But I didn't know that if I have gone along and committed, you know, 100 decks to the memory and deleted five or six along the way that I thought there might be an error in, that when I deleted a batch, it would more or less randomly delete that deck zero.
Mm-hmm.
So I have evidence that I scanned deck zero, 197 ballots, and that I committed that to the memory, but I couldn't find any evidence that it was deleted, but on our election night counts, it was included. But on our final tally, it was not. So our process here is that from election night, we don't do any more entering anything into the system until we have verified the number of signatures and audited that we have the correct number of ballots for the number of voters we had. And that somebody that voted an absentee ballot didn't also send in a didn't go to the polls and do a provisional ballot.
Mm-hmm.
We've done all of that audit. Now we're ready to count everything else that we've got. And we did that. We started that on November 23rd. Before we began scanning any additional decks in, we ran an additional report that should have been identical to the one that was run on election night. And it was. Those 197 ballots were in there. So, okay, we are off and running. We started scanning more ballots, and everything was fine until we were finished. And we printed a report. Looks like everything's good. High fives all around. We're done. and then that was on the 25th.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you to pause in the narrative
sure.
there because I need to take a break, and
I
you
understand.
Can tell us where the whoops entered into
sure.
your figuring. And Brad will let you pepper her with some questions when we return, okay? We'll
okay.
take a break here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Carolyn Cernich, Registrar of Voters Plus in Humboldt County, California, and Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. More straight ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter B. Collins, midnight to 3 a.m. weekdays. On demand anytime at green960.com.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour. Brad Friedman's with us from bradblog.com, and our special guest is Carolyn Cernich, Registrar of Voters in Humboldt County, California. That's Eureka and Arcata and Environs, the area covered by one of our great radio stations, KGOE. And Carolyn, just before the break, I had to interrupt you as you were getting to the critical point of your narrative here about the vote count coming after the November 4th elections, and how the count coming out of the Diebold tabulators was found to vary from the count conducted by the Election Transparency Project. And at what point did you discover that discrepancy?
Well, the Transparency Project scanned each ballot as two separate images, front and back of the ballot. Ours was a one-page ballot, 14 inches long, printed on both sides. So if our GEMS report indicated that we should have 64,161 ballots, twice that number should be the number of images that we have.
Okay.
And when we were finished, we had twice that number plus 433. Okay, that means a half ballot somewhere. Well, we found that. That was a... what in the Premier system is called an ender card, which the poll workers had run through their AccuVote at the polling place at the end of the night and just sealed in the ballot box instead of removing it. It was just a little mistake. It's not a big deal, but anyway, mm-hmm. that right. image is in there. But 433, Mitch Trachtenberg were the ones, and I were the ones that were doing that final scanning the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and he sort of offered me comfort in that, well, that's okay. It could be some technical glitch on our part. You know, sometimes something got scanned twice, and maybe the first scan didn't get deleted, like it was upside down or something like that. And he said, let me look at it first before you panic and see if I can find the problem. He called me back and said, go look at this certain precinct, 2045. It seems to be low in turnout, and maybe that's where our problem is. And it was low on the turnout was low on the GEMS report, and he had a couple hundred more votes than that. Mm-hmm. So I went and found the ballots, and sure enough, there was deck zero with 197 ballots that were not included. If I added up the rest of the ballots that I found for that precinct, they're all there.
Okay. Brad, you got some questions?
I do indeed. Yeah, and this, by the way, should be of note to listeners in Boston as well, because as I recall, in Suffolk County, there's areas of Suffolk County and Massachusetts as a whole that use these very same Diebold optical scan systems. Now, the fact that Diebold, and Peter, it's not, they've changed their name to Premier, but, you know, new lipstick, same crappy voting systems, in my opinion. The fact that they sent out one email 4 years ago to warn about this problem, that it hasn't been fixed. You know, I have great concerns about that, and, you know, where else this may have happened, that other election officials weren't aware of the concerns, as well as the concerns that Diebold admitted to just before the election, that their central tabulator, the GEM system, also drops votes when they are uploaded. Now, this is a great concern of mine. Have you, I know you passed it on to the Secretary of State's office. I'm wondering what their response was and whether or not you passed this on to the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission, because for my money, they ought to be warning everybody about this potential flaw, because these systems are used all over the country.
Well, I think I definitely understand your concern, being kind of at ground zero here, but my call to the Secretary of State was not to blow a whistle or anything else. My concern was that on Monday, my Board of Supervisors in Humboldt County called a special meeting to for the purpose of certifying the election results that I thought still on Monday morning were probably okay. And they did that. I had certified those results. So my phone call to the Secretary of State was to say, how do I correct my mistake? This is what happened. And they were very interested in this is what happened part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not been in contact with the EAC, though the people from the Secretary of State's office thought that was important and I believe picked up the ball there.
Now, they weren't even in office in 2004. Were they aware of this problem with these Diebold machines?
No.
Yeah, this is a real problem because it makes these machines in violation of federal law.
Well, and Carolyn, let me jump in. Isn't it an affirmative responsibility of Diebold, the vendor, to make sure that that information is disseminated to the communities and the entities that use their machines?
And I suppose that I could respond to that with, they did inform the elections manager in Humboldt County at the time, but
once.
That was not me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, in trying to carry on the elections process, I looked for guidance, and I didn't find that. If it's here, if it was here before this afternoon, I didn't see it. But
have
let
you
me say
that?
One other thing.
Have you actually seen that email, Carolyn?
Huh? I beg your pardon?
Say again,
have you
but...
actually seen that email from 4 years ago now?
I have now, yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, it puts their system in violation of federal law, of the Help America Vote Act, as far as accuracy goes, and that they feel that, you know, one email 4 years ago suffices when obviously you're not alone in, you know, not having been around 4 years ago, an election official comes in and doesn't know this. Secretary of State of California didn't know it.
And let me jump in. Yep. We have got about 30 seconds, Carolyn. Go ahead and make your comment.
Well, one thing that bothers me more than the fact that I didn't know it is that another version of this was tested and certified after they knew about it, with that flaw still in it, and was marketed to, I don't believe it's used in California, but elsewhere. It has since been corrected in even newer versions, but it was marketed after they knew about the flaw in a newer version that had not been corrected.
I've got to wrap it up there. Carolyn Cernich, thank you for your work. Thanks for being open to working with activists. And thanks for standing up for the truth. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Brad Friedman, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Look forward to it, Peter. Thanks.
All right.
To you until we meet again. Happy trails.
Peter B. Collins, midnight to 3 a.m. weekdays. On demand anytime at green960.com.